I speak to the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I have to confess, because I haven't been very well, and I'm still not very well, I was going to try and do one of those, you know, ones with pictures and everything, and that didn't happen, I'm afraid, because I'm very impressed with those who do the visuals, and I'm not very visual, so I don't tend to do it. I'm very cerebral in my thoughts, and so it was going to be my intention, so I apologise. Hopefully next time I preach, I will try and do one with visuals and everything, because I know some people do think visually. But anyway, so it hasn't happened this time. So unfortunately, it's quite cerebral, but anyway, I apologise in advance. In the Gospel reading, we find ourselves in the section known as the Kingdom of Heaven parables. And these parables in our reading follow on from the parables of the sower, which I'm sure we all know. In that parable, Jesus talks about the message of the kingdom being sown and the various places it grows. And in our reading, Jesus moves on to talk about what the kingdom of heaven is like and concludes this teaching with a call to share the message of the kingdom of God. And the bookends of this section, which are the parable of the sower at the start and this mini statement about a disciple of the kingdom bringing out the treasures of the storeroom at the end, help frame the purpose of these parables. They reveal the realities of this kingdom which is being proclaimed. The parables of this section speak about separation between good and evil, about the great value and cost of the kingdom, that the kingdom grows, turning something small and insignificant into something vast and mighty, and how the kingdom will permeate through all things, impacting every part of our very being. So imagine this scene. A labourer is ploughing a field when suddenly he comes across a great treasure just below the surface. He can't believe his luck. But what to do? He knows he can't take it. The field doesn't belong to him. Perhaps it's too big to dig up and take away in any case, but he's filled with joy at the thought of owning this treasure. So he covers it up again, goes home and sells up absolutely everything he owns so that he can get enough cash together to buy the field. You can imagine the champagne flowing as he celebrates his good fortune with his family. He's set up for life. Then there's the merchant who is a trader in precious pearls and really knows his stuff. And one day he comes across a superb pearl. He realises that this specimen could make his fortune in the right market. And again, he's overjoyed at this discovery. He too is so overjoyed that he quickly goes home and sells absolutely everything he can lay his hands on so he can afford this perfect pearl. We can see that the major theme in these two parables is joy. The joy of discovery. The joy of owning something that is priceless. A joy that makes everything else fade into insignificance. And a joy that is life-changing. The men in the parables have found a treasure that's so great, they're willing to give up everything to get their hands on it. Joy is an interesting thing, isn't it? Some people go searching for joy and never find it, while others find it in the simplest thing. One of the most interesting things about joy is you can't actually find it by looking for it. You won't make someone joyful by just telling them to be joyful. The most annoying thing by someone like me who suffers from depression is for someone to tell me to cheer up. That is the most annoying thing. You have to first point them to something that will be a source of joy for them. C.S. Lewis, in his book Surprised by Joy, describes his pilgrimage towards a knowledge of God, which he describes as search for joy. At one stage of his description, he talks about discovering that he'd been looking for the wrong thing. He says, "I perceived that I had been wrong in supposing that I desired joy itself. Joy itself, considered simply as an event in my own mind, turned out to be of no value at all, and the value lay in that of which joy was the desiring." His problem was that he was looking for something that he noticed other people had, this thing called joy. And the problem was that at that time he hoped to find it outside of Christianity, which he could only think of at that stage as mere mythology. He tells how one day as he travelled alone on a bus, he was presented with a choice. He suddenly became aware that he was holding something at bay or shutting something out. He describes the something as if it was as though he was wearing some sort of stiff clothing, like a corset or even a suit of armour. He felt himself at that moment being given a choice to unbuckle the armour or to keep it on, to open the barricade door or break it down. It was a completely free choice without threat or promise. Well, he eventually chose to open up, to remove the armour, to break down the barricade. But still, that wasn't it. He still hadn't found the source of joy. All he'd done was take a step in the right direction. He still had to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. It was when that happened, he said, that his life was changed around. And ironically, from that point on, joy itself became unimportant. It was valuable only as a pointer to something other. So what is it in this parable that gives these people such joy? What is this great treasure that Jesus is referring to? Well, he says it's the kingdom of heaven. With a knowledge of Jesus comes a knowledge of God. And hence all the treasures of wisdom, knowledge, and the kingdom of heaven is tied to Jesus himself. No money can buy this treasure. The treasure that Jesus is talking about is a free gift and can only be gladly received as a free gift. But the people in the two parables go and sell everything they have so that they can possess it. Remember, these are parables about the kingdom of heaven. But the treasure of God's free gift is of such value that when we find it, everything else becomes secondary. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it out, sat down and took out the good fish, but threw the bad away. Jesus, I think, is talking about the church. The church is the kingdom net that gathers in all kinds of people with all kinds of motives. There are plenty of people who come into the church because they recognise that there's a great treasure here, but who for one reason or another never take the next step of committing all they have to Jesus and his kingdom. Just belonging to a church is no guarantee that we truly belong to the kingdom, so we're left with a challenge. Have we given up everything else in order to possess this incredible treasure of belonging to God's kingdom? Have we committed all we are and all we have to serving Christ as Lord? Have we recognised just how precious this free gift of God is? And finally, look at the last little parable Jesus throws in as he finishes his series of parables of the kingdom of heaven. "Have you understood all these things?" Jesus asked. "Yes," they replied, he said to them. I'm very impressed that they said yes. I don't always understand everything he says. "Therefore, every teacher of the law asked, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven," he said, "is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old." It's as though Jesus has finished his lessons. This is the final exam. "Have you understood all these parables?" When they assure him they have, he gives them a final pep talk, if you like, before they go out to teach others. He says, "If you've been properly instructed in the kingdom of heaven, then here's how you'll go about teaching. You'll be like a householder who has guests arriving and so gets out the best silverware as well as the brand new dinner set. In other words, when you come to teach people about the kingdom, you'll teach them the new things about Jesus." I guess this sums up the reason that we can hear the parables of Jesus year after year and keep coming up with new ways of understanding and applying them. Their age doesn't diminish their value, because the truth that Jesus brings is always being refreshed and renewed as we bring it to bear on our particular situations. So we're presented with a series of parables that start and finish with the image of a great treasure, God's gift of membership in his kingdom and of his revealed word is a treasure that we can apply over and over again to each new situation we find ourselves in. But in the middle is a warning and a challenge. We're called to take up our cross in order to follow Jesus. That's how precious this great treasure of the kingdom of heaven is. It's a free gift, but at the same time, it calls for sacrifice of all we have. So when we face hard decisions, particularly as we face temptation, let's keep in the forefront of our minds the greatness of the treasure that God has given us. Because none of the joys, none of the glitz, and none of the glamour that temptations offer us can compare with the joy of knowing Jesus Christ. Amen.